Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm Jonathan Strickland.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
And today we wanted to talk about a kind of controversial subject, something that hit the news in early May of 2013, the idea of using 3D printers to print handguns because someone's gone and done that crazy thing.
Yeah.
And to talk about what the ramifications are, what was actually the gun, and why are people concerned, and what are the various things we need to take into account? But before we get into all of that, I think it benefits us to talk a little bit about 3D printing in general, just in case you aren't familiar with the concept.
Right. And now, Jonathan and Chris did an episode on 3D printing way back in 2009.
Yeah, that was shortly after printing itself was invented. Before that, we just communicated by banging rocks together.
No one was alive then.
Yeah. Well, there was no life. We were alive, but anyway, no. We did an episode on 3D printing back in 2009, which was funny because at that point, I had never actually seen one in person.
Oh, wow. Now we have one in the office.
We have one in the office now. Yeah, we actually have a 3D printer here that's very, very tiny.
Yes.
We can only print small stuff with it, but it's
little
awesome.
Little green things. Yeah,
mostly green because we haven't changed out the plastic. But what 3D printers do, they print stuff in three dimensions. And
it's called additive manufacturing.
Yes, and this is different from subtractive manufacturing. Subtractive would be where you take a hunk of stuff and carve away all the stuff you don't want.
It's Michelangelo's David.
Exactly, yeah. You cut away everything that doesn't look like David. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's the sculpting point of view. You know, to sculpt an elephant, you cut all the stuff away that doesn't look like an elephant. But that's very wasteful. It means that all that material you cut away, you potentially waste.
By using additive manufacturing, you're printing a material, in most cases, in consumer cases at any rate, plastics, very thin layers, in a predetermined design.
Exactly. And these layers can be a micron thick. Or thinner if you've got very precise 3D printing technology. And you do this layer by layer by layer until finally you have
a full object. And it's doing this with plastic and a binding agent so that the plastic sticks together properly. Otherwise, mm-hmm. it would just fall apart and crumble in your hands. But
not so useful.
It would be very pretty until you tried to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. But the finished product winds up being a single piece of plastic in this case.
Right.
And it's pretty nifty.
Yeah. And we've got there are other types of 3D printers out there. They're not for consumers that can print in other materials. And we expect that in the future, we're going to be able to do things like print in metal, even to the point where we can print circuit boards.
Or human organs.
Human organs using biological material. We can print in maybe glass. Mm-hmm. Really anything that would allow you to print using a liquid. It would all be potentially possible using this method.
If you're interested in that, we in our other show, Forward Thinking, we talked a little bit about that. So look that one up if you want to.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. That was one of the earliest episodes. I had a lot of fun talking about that. So what's the big deal with 3D printing? Well, it's an incredibly disruptive technology. And I don't necessarily mean that in a negative way, but it does mean that 3D printers have the potential to really shake up the way the world works in many ways, like manufacturing and distribution in particular would be very much affected by 3D printers. If you get to the point where a 3D printer is within the purchasing range of your average computer user, then that computer user can go out, buy a 3D printer, bring it home, buy the materials you need to be able to build whatever, and then you could start constructing stuff out of your home. You could download plans from the internet and build things, and those things could be furniture, it could be toys, it could be tools. And so that means that you've got these manufacturers out there who design and build stuff that suddenly have to worry about, well, is there going to even be a market for my stuff anymore?
Right.
Or do I change my business model? So instead of selling stuff, I start selling plans for stuff.
Right. You start worrying a lot more about the intellectual copyright of the shape of a table.
Which is kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like you're no longer thinking, I need to make sure no one shoplifts this thing. You're thinking, I need to make sure no one builds a plan that allows them to print the same as this thing.
Right.
So there are a lot of intellectual property concerns that come up because of 3D printing. And some of them are concerns that we never would have thought about before, like how do you copyright a table?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But that's a thing now. So one of the other questions that came up pretty early on when 3D printers were starting to become something that the general public was becoming aware of was, what happens when someone prints a weapon using one of these things?
And for a long time, a lot of people were going like, ow, that's years off. We don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, maybe back in 2009, Chris and I were saying that. But 2013, hey, we're years off now, and someone has done that.
Yeah, as of May 4th, 2013.
Yeah, Star Wars Day.
Star Wars Day it was. What a bummer.
What a bummer, yeah. That's a nice choice of words there, Lauren. I could see you like going through your list. What word am I going to use? Excellent choice. I agree. So we have a fellow by the name of Cody Wilson who describes himself as a co-founder and chief evangelist of a group called Defense Distributed.
And, very clever. Yeah. It's a nonprofit organization.
Yeah. And he designed a gun that could be created using a 3D printer and a common nail from a hardware store. And the gun has 16 pieces total, one of those pieces being the nail. The other 15 are all printed by a 3D printer.
A consumer grade, I think he got it for $8,000 on eBay.
Yeah, it was the Stratasys Dimension SST 3D printer, which you could probably buy for around $10,000. He got it secondhand for $8,000. And we'll get more into the whole story of Stratasys and its involvement in this because it's an interesting part of the story, but we'll save that for a bit later. So he printed out these 15 pieces. He got the nail to be the 16th piece. The nail acted as the firing pin. Now, this is the part of a gun that strikes the primer on a cartridge so that it ignites, and then the gases from the cartridge are what propel the bullet out of the barrel of the gun.
Now, it doesn't technically need to be metal, but the kind of plastic that they use is just a little bit too soft to strike it without deforming.
Right. So essentially what would happen is instead of igniting the gas, the firing pin was just sort of bending. So instead of using that, he decided to use a nail. And putting it all together, he wasn't even sure if it was going to hold together or not, but he assembled the gun using the pieces that he had designed, and he strapped it up to a pole, as I recall.
An aluminum little bit of scaffolding, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he tied a string to it.
And stood as far away as possible.
Right, and used the string to pull the trigger, had a successful test. It actually fired the bullet, and remained intact. That's one of the things that was a big concern, was that if you have a gun that's essentially made out of plastic, would it be able to withstand the forces that a gun experiences when you fire a bullet? And in the case of this one, it seemed to do that. And he also eventually tested it by firing it by hand. It took some working up to get to that point.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, during the initial test, I believe they had a couple of successful firings, but then it misfired due to a misalignment issue. And
yeah. Now they point out that the gun as it's designed, you could actually remove the barrel and replace it with a new barrel. So if there were parts that would break down, you could actually replace those parts just by printing out new ones. But the gun itself wouldn't last for more than a few shots. In fact, one expert I saw said that in his opinion, if you were using the best kind of plastic possible, you might be able to get between 10 and 20 shots before it just was an unusable machine.
Yeah. Although, it is designed so that you can snap parts in and out.
Right. So you just replace the ones that are not working anymore, and then you could continue to fire. And it's supposed to be relatively quickly to switch those parts out, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what Wilson also did was he ended up uploading the design to Mega, which is Kim.com's file sharing. It's really like a locker service where you can store files. They're encrypted so that no one can see what it is that you are doing. He uploaded that and made it freely available to anyone who wanted to get hold of this. Within 2 days, 10,000 people had downloaded it. And as of the recording of this podcast, we're recording this on May 9th, 2013. Forbes reported this morning that it had been downloaded more than 100,000 times.
Wow.
Now, keep in mind, not everyone who downloaded that has access to a 3D printer.
Oh, right. I'm sure that a lot of that is curiosity. There's been so much buzz about it on the internet that I'm sure that a lot of people were just looking at it because they could.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a percentage of that that's just the press.
That's true.
We need to have access to this so we can take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But and if you're curious about what kind of bullet it fired, it was a 38 caliber bullet. I've read that they've designed the gun in such a way that you could change out the chamber and barrel so that
right.
you could fire different caliber bullets depending upon which ones you were using. But mm-hmm. 38 was what they used for their tests.
Yeah. For their successful tests. According to Forbes, Andy Greenberg, who was on the scene for some of these tests and has a couple really great articles that we did draw on extensively for this podcast, they switched the barrel out for a rifle cartridge that made the entire thing explode into shrapnel.
Now, what was the name of this gun?
They are calling it the Liberator.
Yeah.
This might be something that history buffs recognize from World War II. During World War II, the Allies, specifically the United States, I believe.
Yeah, they manufactured these one-shot 45s.
Mm-hmm.
They were one-shot pistols, meaning that you could fire them once and then that's it. It's just not designed to shoot more than one time. And the whole purpose of this was to drop these 45s behind enemy lines in occupied territories.
Occupied France, right.
The idea being that the French population would suddenly have access to weapons, but you could only fire it once. It really wasn't a practical weapon. In fact, I don't think that the Allies ever considered it to be something that would allow a real tide to turn. It was more of an attempt to demoralize the Axis powers rather than to actually foment some form of revolution.
And propaganda was a really interesting technology that was used in World War II.
Yeah, so this is one of those examples of propaganda that doesn't involve like a song or a poster or a movie. It was actually an act. And in this case, it was an act of distributing weapons of limited use to an occupied country. And from what I understand, it doesn't look like all of them or even most of them were ever actually distributed.
There's a little bit of contention about whether or not they were and to whom and when and how many. But
and from what I understand, most of them were destroyed without ever being used.
So, yeah.
But anyway, Wilson apparently wanted to take that name and It kind of goes along with his philosophy, but his philosophy is interesting. We will cover that in this episode, but I think we're going to save that for the end.
Yeah. It's pretty dynamic.
It is dynamic. It's intense is what it is. So yeah, 100,000 folks around, or at least 100,000 people have downloaded these plans as of the recording of this podcast. By the time this publishes, I'm sure that number will be way bigger.
The way that that works. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could have everyone just lose interest, but I don't think that's going to happen with this particular product. So, that's where the actual logistics are. That's, you know, what the state of the gun is. This gun, by the way, if you haven't seen a picture of it, it looks really clunky.
It does.
And it has to be, because that plastic has to be pretty thick to withstand the pressures. And we'll talk more about what those actually are in the next, section. But, it's not a sleek weapon by any means.
It is not. No. And I mean, you know, the kind of plastics that are being used are, it's ABS, which is acrylonitrile butadiene styrene. It's a thermoplastic blend. It's used in lots of everyday items like molded tool handles, electric shavers, Lego bricks are made of this stuff. So.
Wow. And we'll talk a little bit about why that causes a concern, you know, the materials used. But, before we really get into the concerns and, you know, the philosophy of Cody Wilson and other elements and the response that we've seen so far. And these are early days when we're recording this. I think we need to take a quick break.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan. And on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Okay, getting back into the subject at hand, there are a lot of concerns that come up with this idea of being able to print a gun at home. Some of these you might think of as knee-jerk responses that don't take everything into account, but I think there are some concerns that you can't just dismiss easily. One is that if you're talking about a plastic gun, let's say that a plastic gun is being used in a crime. The concern is that you wouldn't really be able to trace that gun back. Guns right now have these grooves that are in the barrels so that when you fire the bullet, it makes the bullet start to spin, giving it more stability, but it also ends up carving, into the bullet.
A specific pattern.
Yeah. And so by looking at the pattern, you can identify, depending on how, what shape the bullet's in, you can identify the type of firearm that fired that bullet.
Right.
If you're talking about a smooth barreled, plastic gun, there's no way of telling. And even if it had some sort of grooves in it, you could design those in such a way where it's unique to your gun, but without anyone being able to tell
It could be literally unique to your gun.
Yeah, no one would know where to even start looking for that. Because
right.
if it's all just a file on your computer, how would anyone know unless they're already watching you? I'm not even going to get into that because I think that's what fuels the whole Liberator in the first place.
Sure.
But the, that's a concern, is that if it was used in a crime, it would be very difficult, if not impossible, to trace back. They're also undetectable, meaning that if you only have a tiny amount of metal in them and you go through a metal detector, the metal detector may not.
It might not pick up that nail. Yeah. Now, in this case, Cody Wilson was actually very careful about following, the letter, if not at all the spirit of the law in the creation of this. He took his company to the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives in order to get a federal license to manufacture and distribute firearms. And furthermore, put a small metal cube, a completely non-functional 6-ounce metal cube, into the gun to make it detectable by metal detectors.
Right. Because the U.S. Undetectable Firearms Act makes it illegal to manufacture any sort of undetectable weapon. Because this isn't the first time that a potentially undetectable weapon has been made. There are guns that use ceramic. There are other plastic weapons as well that have used molded plastic as opposed to 3D printed plastic. But, that was a big concern. So now he followed the rules. Wilson did. His version of the gun, in fact, had that metal in it, so it was not undetectable. But
nothing saying that someone who downloads that
follow the same rules. If you download the blueprint and printed it out yourself, you could just say, well, I'm not going to put the metal slug in there, and therefore it is going to be virtually undetectable by a metal detector.
However, we should mention that, that those 3D scanners that they've put in a lot of airports would pick the gun up. It would be able to recognize it on your person.
Right. Yeah. If you're using a 3D scanner, it's still going to pick these things up. If you are using just metal detectors, it wouldn't. So that's raised some security concerns, obviously. Wilson, I think he took some perverse joy in the fact that he was following the law while creating something that is potentially incredibly disruptive.
Absolutely. Are we getting into Cody Wilson yet?
No,
not yet.
But,
okay.
But I think it's fair to say that he took some pleasure in
they
that.
They did install a walkthrough metal detector in their workshop for testing to make sure
that it met those requirements. Mm-hmm. So to get to other concerns, beyond the fact that you can't trace it, you can't necessarily detect it. Another concern is there's no background check, right? If you download those plans, there's no control there about who gets access to that
right.
gun. So in the United States, convicts can't, people who had been convicted of a felony, they can't buy a gun legally in the United States. I mean, they could buy it illegally, but you can't go through any legal means of buying it. That's what the whole background check thing is supposed to protect against, in the United States. So this bypasses it. If you are able, if you have the means or the access to a 3D printer and you have a criminal record and you otherwise could not legally buy a firearm, you could make one yourself this way.
Right.
And that's something that a lot of critics have pointed out, saying you have just, invalidated this whole part
system.
Of the system.
Right.
Wilson, for his part, not a big fan of gun control.
Doesn't seem to be very concerned about that. So much so that in March, he released a video of a 3D printable AR-15 lower receiver, which is the part that's regulated.
Right.
The rest of the parts you can purchase without all that much trouble. And that hypothetically could lock into these other purchasable parts and thus,
bypass that whole problem.
Mm-hmm.
or what at what he saw as a problem. Other things that you have to keep in mind. Remember, we were talking about that plastic earlier, about how strong it was and the type of plastic used and the type of printer being used. Jonathan Rowley, who's a 3D printing expert, said in The Guardian that that you have to be really careful because not everyone out there has access to the same sort of 3D printers or the same sort of raw materials being used.
Right.
And just because one printed gun was able to withstand the pressure and force that a that the Liberator did in the initial tests, it doesn't mean that something that you print using a different kind of printer could do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that the material you print is weaker than the one that Wilson used.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wilson also did treat the plastics after they were printed in order to make them stronger.
So you could potentially end up with a device that could explode in your hand and cause you huge amounts of damage, if not even kill you right out, outright. In fact, he said that it's far more likely someone will be injured by a failing weapon before anyone is ever deliberately shot by one. So that was his big concern, was not only is it something that could potentially, you know, one person could potentially use to kill someone else, it's something that someone who's just curious about it could end up severely injuring themselves because the materials they're using just can't hold up to the pressures.
And even unit to unit, anything that you've printed like that could be misaligned, on a relatively small scale that you might not be able to see from the outside of the...
Right. Yeah. If your printer does not have the same level of precision, then that could also be a problem. Mm-hmm. Things might not be in the right alignment because,
or if just something glorps into the wrong place,
glorping is an issue.
But
there's also the problem that there could be, nylon plastic powder within the barrel itself, which can be flammable and could actually cause an explosion in your hand. Because, you know, you're talking about this intense heat and pressure. In fact, let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
According to The Guardian, the pressure inside a gun typically reaches about 1,000 atmospheres and temperatures exceed 200 degrees Celsius when you fire off a gun. So the gun, the bullet's flying out because of the expanding gas that is created when the primer ignites and gets the propellant going, right? So this expanding gas is what pushes that bullet out. According to The Guardian, about 32% of that energy from the expanded gas transfers to the bullet. Another 30% of that energy transfers to the barrel in the form of heat. And heat tends to weaken plastic.
Sure.
So if you aren't using heat, treated plastic, or you're using a weaker kind of plastic, that might be enough for that gun to shatter in your hands or otherwise fail in a way that could cause you some pretty serious injury. And Philip Boyce, who is an expert with Forensic Scientific, he's the one who said that with a really good plastic gun, you might get off as many as 10 to 20 shots before it failed. So beyond that, these guns aren't necessarily that accurate. You know, if it's a smooth barrel gun, it's not necessarily going to guide the bullet in any way that's reliable.
Useful.
Yeah. It'd be one of those things where, you know, the closer you are, obviously, are to whatever the target is that you're aiming at, the more likely you'll hit it. But
you might wind up just being a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Lots of pew-pew, very little actual. And when you've only got, you know, up to 10 bullets, that's not.
Yeah. So this has prompted many politicians and law enforcement officials to come out and criticize this whole idea of 3D printed guns. It's not a big surprise. I mentioned earlier that the printer that Wilson used was purchased, the Stratasys Dimension SST 3D printer. They actually were using a leased one originally.
From the company.
Yeah, they leased it from Stratasys, but
as of October 2012, Stratasys figured out what they were doing and seized their property back and said, no thanks.
Yeah.
And you might say,
why do they care? They care because 3D printer companies, the companies that are designing these things for consumers, they don't want the government to come in and start regulating and legislating the stuff they make because that's going to affect their business.
Absolutely.
So
it could get really expensive. It could get to be a huge, just licensing issue.
Right. You guys might not be aware of this, but 3D, or not 3D scanners, but color scanners. Color scanners have technology built into them that will prevent them from doing things like copying and reproducing currency.
It's a form of DRM.
Yeah. It's really, it really kind of is. It's this idea of protecting it so that, you know, counterfeiters can't just sit there at home and scan and print money. Because once scanners got to be that specific, that became an issue. So you build that into the device itself where it will not, copy and print. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. The same sort of thing may be true with 3D printers. You know, politicians might say you have to find a way to prevent people from printing this particular type of piece. And then suddenly they have to implement that. That drives up production costs for the 3D printer side. It drives up the consumer costs for 3D printers. It hurts the whole industry. That's the viewpoint of the manufacturers and why they would not be so keen on having their own materials made to build something like a gun.
Right.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices. And that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
So you had the concern from the companies there. As far as the politicians and law enforcement goes, law enforcement in the UK, the Metropolitan Police pointed out that making or owning a gun like this would be illegal unless you were a registered firearms dealer with the proper credentials and quote unquote authorities. Otherwise, it would, just owning a gun like this in the UK would be considered illegal. If you used it in any way, then that would get you a pretty stiff penalty. In the United States, there were senators from California, senators and congresspeople, I should say, and council members in one case, from California, Washington, D.C., and New York, who have all expressed concern about 3D printing printed guns and talked about coming up with legislation that can prevent it.
Helping to revamp that Undetectable Firearms Act that we were talking about earlier.
This makes it complicated because there's really only so much that you can do from a legal perspective. Like, how do you prevent something? The cat's already out of the bag.
Right.
You know, 100,000 people have downloaded this as of today. when we're recording this. So it's, you know, it's kind of hard to say, let's stop this from happening now. It's, we all know that once something's on the internet, that's
it. It's forever. It's the internet is forever. Yeah.
So
I did want to mention that on the private side, there were other roadblocks to the actual creation of this thing. Wilson had his crowdfunding campaign through Indiegogo shut down in August of 2012.
Yeah.
Also, two workshop spaces that he had been using denied him access after learning what he was up to.
Yep.
And furthermore, he originally had some of these files up on Thingiverse by MakerBot. And MakerBot
took it down.
Yeah.
The 3D printing community in general is reacting to this in very much the same sort of way, saying that, you know, now you're bringing unwanted attention to our industry or our hobby. You know, they've always said that it was going to be a disruptive kind of technology, but they never thought of it in the terms of, or they didn't frame it in the terms of disruptive being potentially violent.
Right.
Which is not what Wilson is saying, although he also really deflects any kind of criticism that even wanders toward the violence question.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where there are times where I was reading some of his responses where I'm thinking, like, this guy took notes in the second Matrix movie and said, how can I talk more like the architect?
Oh, dear.
Where I say a lot but don't really say anything.
Hmm.
Or at least don't answer any questions.
That's...
I think that's fair. I've read.
It's harsh. It's harsh criticism, but yeah, we've, the two of us both have probably read a lot of things that, that Wilson said.
Well, not only that, what he said, but what he wouldn't say. Like, if anyone confronted him directly with, questions about, well, what about folks who, you know, like convicts? Are you saying that convicts should have access to weapons? And instead of answering that question, he would deflect it into something else.
Into something more philosophical.
So he just refuses to answer those sort of things. So and he may very well have coherent and a good strong argument for that sort of case, but he's not presenting it. So
not as of this podcast, right?
Yeah. Maybe by this afternoon he said something that completely addresses my concerns. But he's described himself as a crypto anarchist, which that already should kind of raise alarm flags for certain people. I mean, anarchy is a tough position to really defend, I think.
It is, and this is getting into a personal
philosophy
here, and Jonathan and I are a little bit more touchy feely about society.
We're okay. So the way I view it is that he's taken a particular stance where he's really put a lot of value on the individual, which I don't disagree with. I think, you know, individuality is very important. Individual freedoms are very important. And of course, there's, you know, all the different arguments you can make about how if you trade liberty for security, then you don't really have either. I've heard all these arguments before. He seems very dismissive of the idea of governments in general.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially saying that the system is broken, and not only is it broken, but it cannot be fixed.
Right.
That at this point, the government system is completely beholden to special interests and corporations. It does not truly represent people. It's doing more harm than good. It's getting more and more intrusive in our daily lives.
And that there's no way to fix it, and that therefore it must be destroyed from the inside.
Yeah, or at least ignored.
Right.
He doesn't
at least
so much
stepped outside of and
yeah.
said. Mm.
Yeah, he's not necessarily condoning that we all rise up against our tyrannical overlords.
Not
but
necessarily.
More like let's just not pay attention to them anymore.
Yeah, There's a quote on the website of Defense Distributed where it says, "How do governments behave if they must one day operate on the assumption that any and every citizen has near instant access to a firearm through the internet? Let's find out."
Yeah. So, I mean, here's my view. The 3D printing of guns was something that was going to happen. It was bound to happen sooner or later. It just happened to happen in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And there is going to have to be a reaction to that. Like, what's the right way of handling this? The cavalier attitude of Cody Wilson seems specifically geared to get a rise out of people.
Absolutely. And he's so intelligent, and he quotes these really great philosophers when he's talking about all of these, he talks about Foucault and how liberty is under siege from the vast machine of the ruling class control, and about, you know, Milton and how in order to be truly good, you must be presented with the freedom to be evil.
Right. Yeah. We're getting into some Clockwork Orange type stuff at this point.
And it's that kind of thing that, you know, is intellectually delightful to discuss, but when
you get into practical matters, some problems rise up.
Right.
Right. So if we lived in a storybook world where governments were the evil stepmother and we're all the perky little protagonist who's the
poor orphan
who's pure of heart and has the best of intentions, that's one thing, right? That's, of course, you want the protagonist to win. But reality is way more murky. I wouldn't go so far as to say government is inherently evil, nor would I go so far as to say individuals are inherently good. There's so much shade of gray on all sides of this.
On both sides, yeah. And it's really people that make up a government. Some people are good, some people are not so good. And,
right.
And that's true within the population or within the ruling class.
And some systems, maybe they favor the people who are not so good over the ones that are good. And that just means to me that you have to fix the system. Now, to Wilson, it seems to mean you should abandon the system altogether. I just don't understand what replaces it. And one of his quotes was, it seemed very tongue in cheek to me, but it was, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he was essentially saying that he would imagine a future where, the individual citizen is making everything that they need using things like 3D printers. And meanwhile, government funded drones are flying overhead, searching out all the dissidents, and that he's eager to see this future come to pass. And I'm thinking, I don't want to live in the road warrior world.
I look really bad in spiky shoulder pads.
I don't want to go to Barter Town. Master Blaster scares me. So anyway, but that's kind of like his philosophy. And, I'm not going to go any further about what my own personal philosophy is. I think it's fairly clear already from what I've said, but, I definitely find it troubling, but I mean, now it's a fact of life. So now we do have to deal with it, and we were going to have to deal with it sometime or other. So, it's not like I'm not going to get too angry at Wilson for doing this, because someone was going to.
Right.
The way he's done it is a little more snarky than I would have cared for, but you know, that's life. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, whether or not, it ends up even being a big deal. It's completely possible that this ends up being far more fuss than what it's worth.
Right. Especially for another few years, you know, before people have, I mean, you know, right now this kind of technology costs about 10 grand
right.
to get access to.
Well, it's way easier to go ahead and get a gun, even illegally.
Absolutely.
For less money.
Yeah, yeah. Or I'm, you know, like hypothetically, you could make one yourself for under 10 grand. That's, you know, it's a lot of knowledge that you have to bend to that to file all the metal and do all the everything.
Yeah, but, to machine the parts and
right,
everything.
Yeah. But they, you know, people have been making their own firearms for, what, 400 years?
Yeah, and it's even legal to make your own firearms under very specific criteria in several countries, including the United States. But so really, when you look at it at that level, it's not like this is the most unheard of thing in the world. It's new, which is part of why it's a little disconcerting.
It's digital, which a lot of people get kind of titchy about.
Right. Same sort of thing that, you know, the music industry, movie industry, television industry, they all got worried because it meant that you could distribute something on a much wider scale than before.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we're not quite to the point where everyone's going to be printing out their own guns, especially with ones that are going to be reliable and not just blow up in the
hands
of the person.
Reliable enough to actually want to use.
Right. But, it's an interesting step. It's an interesting day. And I'm really curious to see how it turns out. It's something that we'll keep our eyes on. I'm sure we'll do another episode related to this in the future and revisit the topic once things have really kind of shaken out. Because I know there's going to be legislation proposed about this, and how that turns out will all depend upon which politicians are the ones suggesting it and how all the different lobbies follow suit.
It'll be interesting and a little bit scary to watch.
Yep. But that's the world we live in, folks.
Interesting and a little bit scary.
It's not all rainbows and ukuleles. Well, it is at my house, but Well, just because I've got a ukulele rainbow collection at home. So, all right, guys. Well, that wraps up this discussion on tech stuff. If you guys have any suggestions for future topics, I recommend you get in touch with us. We have an email address. It's techstuff@discovery.com. Or drop us a line on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle at both those locations is techstuff, HSW. And Lauren and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.